As I was reading this passage, verse 20 really stuck with me. So look at verse 20. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. This verse really struck to me, this is Paul, the apostle, writing this letter, and as I read this, I'm astounded at just how central Jesus is in Paul's life. Jesus is his number one priority in everything. What he wants above anything else is for Jesus to be exalted, for people to look to Jesus and say, he's awesome, Jesus is fantastic. And that's, this is what he wants. It's like you've seen those pictures in the videos where a team wins a championship, or a racing car driver wins, and the whole team picks up the person who was driving or scored that last goal, and they all lift him up and want everyone to see how good he is. This is the guy who won it for us. He's awesome. This is what Paul is doing with Jesus. He's lifting him up and saying, look at Jesus. Jesus is awesome. It's not the people on the bottom who want the focus. It's the person on the top. Paul is that person on the bottom lifting up Jesus and saying, look at him. Look at Jesus. He's fantastic. He's awesome. And this attitude is not something that only Paul should have. It's not something that's unique to Paul. Paul is, it's not as though this is something special to him because he's an apostle or a missionary or an evangelist or anything like that, but he's a model for what we should all be like. For every Christian, for every person who follows Jesus, their Lord and Saviour, Paul's attitude is what we should be like, because Christ is awesome. Jesus has given us everything. He's given us new life. He's given us new hope. He's given us new meaning and purpose. He saved us from hell. He saved us from eternal death. He saved us from sin. He saved us from being slaves to Satan. He saved us from so much, and so we should be eternally thankful to him. So we want to lift him up and look, show everyone, look at Jesus. Look at what he's done in my life. Look at what he's done for the world. Look at how good he is and awesome he is. So we should all have Paul's attitude. We should all have Jesus as our number one priority in life. We should all want Christ to be exalted in our lives. And what we're going to look at today is that for Paul, he wanted Christ to be exalted in his own life more than anything. More than anything. Even in his own suffering, he wanted Christ to be exalted. And in every and any situation, he wanted Jesus to be exalted. So if you like points, these are the 2 points. The first one is he wanted Jesus to be exalted in any situation. There's an S. And the second one, he wanted Jesus to be exalted even in suffering. It's the other S, situation and suffering. So I'll pray, and then let's get stuck into Philippians. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us this morning to listen to you and for you to speak into our hearts. Amen. So Philippians, if you haven't done it recently, is written by Paul. It was probably written in the early 60s. That's what it looks like, 62, 63 AD, something like that. It's written in the last few years of Paul's life. He's waiting in a Roman prison. He's waiting for a trial that he doesn't know, but we know will end up in his beheading. He's going to get murdered. And as he's waiting for this trial, word has come to him, a message has come to him from a church that he planted in Philippi in modern-day Greece. And this church, who love him and he loves them, are concerned about him. Understandably, he's in prison, possibly about to die. So they've written him a letter or got a message to him saying, how are you going? How are you, Paul? How are things in prison? Are you going all right? I don't know what you would say if put yourself in Paul's situation, and if someone, your family member, was to come to you and say, how are you going? What would you say? For me, I'd probably talk about myself. I'd probably say, well, it kind of sucks. You know, prison is not a very nice place to be. I want to go outside. I want to be free. I want to see my family again. I want to see my kids. I want to go back to my own country. I want to go back to my home again. I just want to go home. To make matters worse, I haven't done anything wrong. It's not my fault. I'm not here because I've broken the law. I'm here unjustly. I shouldn't be here. But what does Paul talk about? Look at verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. So what does Paul talk about? He talks about Jesus. He doesn't talk about himself, he talks about Jesus. He lifts Jesus up and he exalts him and he says, look to him, look at how good he is. He doesn't do what I would probably do and talk about myself and complain, but he points to Jesus. Even in his situation, even in prison, even suffering, this is what he does. He points to Jesus. So the question is, but how? How, in this situation that he's been in, how has he been exalting Christ? How can you exalt Christ in prison? It's hard for him. He's in prison. He's locked up. He's not free anymore. Paul was appointed as an apostle, as an evangelist, as a missionary, and he was free to roam the whole country, to roam the whole world, planting churches. He would travel around the world, planting churches, preaching to thousands and thousands of people. He saw thousands of people come to Christ. He planted hundreds of churches. He did awesome things because he was a free man. But now, he's not free. He's in prison. He's in chains. How can he possibly keep doing that if he's locked up? It seems like he's in the wrong situation. But have a look at verse 12. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So Paul, being in prison, being locked up, has somehow served to advance the gospel. Paul is locked up, but the gospel is growing, it's spreading, it's advancing. But Paul's in the wrong situation for this to happen. It shouldn't happen. He's locked up. He's in prison. I mean, this is why governments put people in prison, is to shut them up, is to stop them talking, is to stop them with their message. This is what they did to Paul, to shut him up. But he's doing the opposite. The gospel hasn't been silenced. It's advancing. It's growing. But how's that happening? How? Look at verse 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. It says the whole palace guard to everyone else. Now, as far as we can tell, the palace guard was probably about 9,000 soldiers. So 9,000 guards, Roman guards, they know that Paul is there. He's in prison because of Christ. Now, I'm sure at any one time they would only have had a handful of guards guarding Paul, one or two guards. They wouldn't have had all 9,000 around him, but only one or two. But Paul was there for about 2 years. He was in prison. And over that time, a lot of these guards would have come in and guarded Paul, and they would have seen him and they would have observed him and saw what he was doing and possibly even listened to him speak. But in any given day, it wouldn't have looked impressive. He wasn't preaching to thousands. He wasn't travelling the countryside. He just had a few guards guarding him. But from the guards' point of view, Paul was a very unusual prisoner. He would have had their curiosity for a couple of reasons. One, they weren't just there to guard him, but they were there to protect him. Paul had a tendency of causing riots when he went into a city, not because of him, but because other people wanted to kill him, especially his own people. His own people, his own flesh and blood, his own nation were the Jews, and they hated him. They wanted to kill him, so he'd turn up into a city, and then everyone would try to kill him, and the Roman guards would have to protect him, because Paul was also a Roman citizen. So they're not just guarding Paul to stop him from escaping, but they're protecting him from other people who want to try to kill him. This was a bit unusual for them. But secondly, Paul was also not your normal criminal. He wasn't your kind of tattooed bikie or anything like that. He was quite impressive in many ways. So he was well-educated. He was loved by many. For example, like a Philippian church sending him a letter. And he was a Roman citizen. So he was impressive. But he was also very unimpressive. He was short and he wasn't a good public speaker. But even though he wasn't a good public speaker, they knew that thousands of people would come to listen to him preach. So he had a message that drew thousands of people to listen to him, even though he wasn't a great speaker himself. So this was unusual. Thirdly, he didn't spend his time protesting his innocence, But instead he spent his time talking about a Jewish man who, as far as the Romans were concerned, had died 30 years before. But now, and he died in a very horrific way. He was executed as a criminal. But now Paul was saying that this man Jesus, he didn't just die a criminal, but he came back from the dead and he's still alive today and he went up into heaven and one day he's going to return and judge everyone. He's going to judge the living and the dead, and everyone should listen to him and worship him and treat him as their Lord and Saviour. So this is an unusual message for the Romans to hear. It's a very unique message. So Paul, he was unusual to the Romans, but he was an unusual man, but he had an unusual message. And the Romans hadn't heard anything quite like it before. So as these soldiers would come and listen to Paul and observe him just one at a time, day by day, they didn't go back to their home or go back to their families, go back to their work, back to the barracks at the end of their day, and they would speak of this unusual man with an unusual but powerful message. And people came to realise that Paul was in prison not because of something that he had done wrong, but because of a man called Jesus Christ. And in the space of 2 years, thousands and thousands of people came to hear about Jesus because of Paul's situation. And the reason? Because Paul's number one priority in his life was to have Christ exalted. This is what he wanted more than anything else. So even in prison, he could still exalt Jesus so that thousands of people knew that he was in chains for Christ. The whole palace guard, 9,000, as well as everybody else, I don't know who everybody else is, but that's a lot of people, knew that he was in chains for Christ. Now, I'm not sure about what situation that you are in now, but uncertainty is pretty common. You may be uncertain about where you're going to live, uncertain about where you're going to work, uncertain about your family, what they're going to look like, what's anything in your family. For many people at our church, they don't know what country they're going to be living in a few months. They don't know if their home country is safe to return to. They don't know if they'll ever see their family again. We've got a number of refugees and boat people at our church who are wanting their family to come here but don't know if it's a possibility. Our situations are always changing. Nothing is fixed. But there is one thing that is fixed, one thing that is certain, one thing that doesn't change, and that is God. That is what Jesus has done for us. God's character, his love for us, his desire for this world, his plan for us. Jesus Christ, he's the same now and forever. What Jesus has done is still the same as it was 2,000 years ago. He's conquered sin. He has conquered death. He has rescued us from hell. He has made us inheritors of this world. He's given us heaven. He's adopted us as his children. And so Christ can be exalted in any and every situation that we find ourselves in. Whether jobless or childless or spouseless or homeless, we can still exalt Christ and say, look to Christ. He has given me new life. He has given me hope. He has given me meaning. He's given me purpose. He's given me a new life. So we can exalt Christ in any and every situation that we find ourselves in. And this is exactly what Paul does. He didn't need to be free to exalt Christ because he exalted Christ when he was a captive. He didn't need to be a missionary to exalt Christ because he exalted Christ as a prisoner. He didn't need to preach to thousands in a synagogue. He just had to do it to one or two a day. His situation had nothing to do with it. But he lived for Christ and he prioritized Jesus in every situation that he was in, and so Christ was exalted. So wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be nice to use Paul's words in your own life? Paul's words are, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I'm in chains for Christ. Wouldn't it be nice to use those words in your situation? It has become clear throughout my whole family that I live for Christ. It has become clear throughout my whole workplace that I work for Christ. It has become clear throughout my whole street that I live for Christ. It has become clear throughout my whole community that I live for Christ. And wouldn't it be great if everyone in your life, everyone that you'd met, knew that you lived for Jesus? That it was obvious to everyone you knew that your number one priority in life was to see Jesus exalted whether in life or in death. And again, it doesn't matter what situation we're in. I think it can be very easy to say, well, things are a bit different for me. You know, if I was like that person, or if I was in this situation, or if this was different, or if that was different, then I could do it more. But it doesn't matter. It's not about the situation. Thousands of people came to know Jesus through Paul in prison, through just a handful every day. You don't have to be a minister, don't have to be an evangelist, don't have to be an apostle or a missionary. This is for everyone who follows Jesus. You just have to be deliberate about what you do. I'll give you one tip in how to be deliberate, and it is drop a Christian word in a sentence. So what's a word that Christians would say? It's kind of limited to Christians, like Jesus, church, blessing, even God, all those sort of things. Just put them in a sentence. One thing I try to do is remove luck from my vocabulary. It actually takes it away from God. Gee was lucky that I didn't die in that accident. Say, God looked after me. Not luck, God looked after me. The weather isn't the weather nice today? Say, yeah, it is. Instead of saying, yeah, it is, just say, yeah, God is good to us. Just put God language in. Put Jesus language in everything. Just make it a part of your language. And then people will go, oh, that's interesting. I just didn't quite expect those words to come out. But just not big, not a whole conversation, just words. Just chuck them in there and see what happens. And as people come to see your day-to-day lives, they will come to know that Jesus is important to you, as long as you're obvious about it. How many people do you think you've met in your life, your whole life? It's kind of scary to think about. I look through my phone, my contacts list in my phone, and there are people there, and I have no idea who they are. No idea. But I've obviously met them at some point, and enough to get their email address or their number, but I have no recollection of who they are. I look through all like camps that I've been to, and these people that I've met, no idea who they are. But I've met them. And I really hope that for all of those people that I've met in my life, that somehow they knew that I lived for Jesus. Didn't have to be a big thing, didn't have to explain the whole gospel, but if I just chucked a word in there, if I just made it clear that I follow Jesus, everyone did that. It'd be awesome. Jesus would be exalted. Everyone would know, oh, there is a Christian there. There's another Christian. There's another Christian. Why do I keep bumping into these people who talk about Jesus? It'd be great. Other examples. That people know that you read the Bible. That'd be good. If your friends and your family know that you read the Bible, and not just because you're religious, but because you read the Bible because Jesus wants you to read the Bible. That if everyone knew that you went to church, firstly, that everyone knew that you went to church, but also that you came to church, again, not because you're religious, not because you always have, but because of Jesus, because you want to listen to him and you want to meet with his people and his family. It's all about Jesus. If people knew that you fought in your hard times in your marriage, not just for the sake of your kids, but because of Jesus, that you fought in your marriage because Jesus wants you to fight in your marriage, but fight for him. Fight to keep it good, not fighting against each other. That people know that you work hard at work, not to get ahead, but because Jesus wants you to work hard at work. He wants you to be a good person at work, a good worker. That you believe certain things about sex or marriage or divorce, not because you're old-fashioned, but because this is what it means to follow Jesus. That you believe in difficult topics like judgment and hell and heaven and Satan and life after death. Because of Jesus. If we want to see Christ exalted in our life, then God can use any situation that we are in. We just have to make it obvious. We've got to have that desire to exalt him in every situation. That was the first S, any situation. There's a second one. This is shorter than the first. A second positive thing that comes out of Paul's example, and that is he encourages other Christians because of his suffering. Look at verse 14. It says, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. That seems unusual to me. Because of my chains, because I'm in prison, because I'm suffering, my Christian brothers and sisters are more courageous. They're more fearless. That seems like the wrong way around. someone says, hey, be like me, and I'm going to go to prison and suffer and die, be like me. People go, not really what I want for my life. I don't think I'll do that. But that's what happens here. Paul is in prison. He's suffering. And yet the other Christians say, yes, we want to be like that. We do. It's unusual. But why? I think Christians are probably the only... It only seems to happen... maybe you could think of other ones, but it seems to be unique to Christianity that people would be encouraged because of suffering. But I think it has to do with the saying, if you can finish the saying, light shines brightest when it's darkest, dark, and life is dark for Paul. It is really dark. Things are really bad for him. His life will soon be over. He's lost his freedom. He's in prison. He's about to be executed. He's about to be beheaded. But it is in that darkness of his life that Jesus shines so much brighter. Paul doesn't shrink back when facing death, but he steps forward and he embraces it for Christ, because his number one priority in his life and in his death is to see Christ exalted. So this encourages his fellow believers. Last year, I'll finish with this example. Last year we had a number of funerals at our church. The one that really I remember was a lady, her name was, her name still is Trista Morgan, and she was the preschool director. We got a preschool, and she was due to have two twins. So she stepped down from her preschool director position so she could have these twins. Their son Caleb was born healthy, but their daughter Hannah had complications and died a few hours after the birth. Now, in terms of dark times, I don't think it gets any darker than having a newborn child die. It's awful. And it was a really hard service to be at. But it was also really encouraging, because Trista and Phil have Jesus as their Lord and their Saviour. And so they have real and genuine hope that the risen Lord Jesus, who himself defeated death, will also give Hannah, their daughter, new life. So it was a very sad service of deep grief and deep sorrow, but it was in that suffering that God's love and his power and his comfort could be seen so much clearer and so much brighter. And for me, it is their witness, that their trust and their love of God, that gives me courage. It was so obvious, and it encouraged me. As I saw them loving God in suffering, it strengthened me. As I saw them trusting God in their grief, it encouraged me. I am encouraged. I found myself drawing closer to God because of their example. I found myself trusting in God and loving him more and more. His goodness became even more obvious to me in their time of suffering. God is a good God. He is a loving God, and that can be seen so much clearer in times of darkness. Trista and Phil are an encouragement to me of how important and how central Christ is in our lives. And even their situation, even in their suffering, Christ was exalted. And they're not evangelists, they're not ministers, they're not apostles. They're simply faithful Christians serving and loving their Lord. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, you are so good to us, and our lives, we are constantly learning and growing in just how good you are. Lord, help us to understand your goodness deeply so that we can exalt you in everything. Help us to be strong. Help us to live for you. Help us to have you as our number one priority in everything that you do. Lord, help us to witness to you in everything that we do. And in times of suffering, Lord, strengthen us so that we can encourage our other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen.